Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katzlamitis. I write the Cats Report, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com, Las Vegas Sun Print, and I write for all the Greenspun Media Group publications. Look for my story next week on Oscar Goodman. It's going to be on the cover of Las Vegas Weekly. I'm through plugging. Dish, how are you doing? Welcome, Dish McCrone. Trish,
I'm
studio
great.
Audience goes wild.
I'm great, I'm great. Woo! Ah, there's nobody here but me and you. Woo. And we have Dave in the control room. But
our imaginary
and
friends.
Exactly, and my other personalities all are applauding as well.
The committee.
I have to say that in case people missed it, speaking of Oscar Goodman, our two-part Oscar Goodman, I was there, obviously. I've listened to it a few times myself, just on a side. Just not only we love him here in Las Vegas, obviously, former Mayor Oscar Goodman and his wife, the beautiful mayor, current Carolyn Goodman. But it was, we both have known him for a long time, there were things that I learned in that interview that I didn't know. And it was just fascinating. It was so much that we did two parts. So if you didn't listen to it, you can go back to just type in Cats with the Dish and you can download and listen to both of those episodes via podcast.
Yeah,
so
it's on the Cats Report landing page. And both shows are up. And yeah, you said it. He's a very interesting man, a very fascinating figure. And it's funny, you know, we did the radio shows with him. I talked him down at the Mob Museum for this Las Vegas Weekly story. And I'd kind of been reconnected with him in the book, been reading the book. And it's interesting. I don't know that people outside of Las Vegas necessarily really get how interesting a man he is. He's just everything that you find interesting in a person, he is the embodiment of. Yeah. Oscar Goodman. And I was reading a story that was written by a writer from the Los Angeles Times about Goodman, and there was a line in there where he inferred, in fact, the guy that wrote the story showed me the line on his phone when I saw him at the book signing that Oscar did at the Plaza last week. And he said that the media in Las Vegas were attacking the book like the monkeys in The Wizard of Oz flying out of trees were going after, covering Goodman in that way.
Yeah.
You know, going and being very aggressive, and happily so. You know, they're jumping. And I thought, you know, I said, you know, I don't know that you really get Las Vegas if you don't understand why he's interesting to us.
I think he's interesting to the, as far as his career, he's interesting to the world. I mean, gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, they did movies about the life that he led, you know, so much he even played himself in Casino. You know, I mean, that was Robert De Niro, Sharon Stone, Joe Pesci. I mean, he was basically those people they're portraying, their lawyer. I mean, he was in New York. He was in Philadelphia. He was everywhere. It's not just Vegas. But what he's done for Las Vegas has been incredible. And he's a wonderful ambassador for Las Vegas. And just,
absolutely.
You know, but that whole time, which, I mean, I didn't live in Las Vegas when I saw Casino, the movie Casino, you know, and it was like, and I was so into those characters and so into, and I, you know, did my research then, like, oh, who was that really? Who was that really? And his stories are so incredible that are just anybody would be excited by reading this book as long as they know about it. So, I mean, we hope he does well. And again, if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it on Cats of the Dish. Also, another true story kind of come to the film was Beyond the Candelabra actually premiered over last weekend. And again, not another plug for our show, but why not? Beep, beep. Here we go. Not to toot our own horns, but beep, beep. That Paco Alvarez, who was on our show, he is the curator of the Liberace Museum, and he's also with the Liberace Foundation.
Yeah, he's the executive. He's the chairman of the board for the Liberace Foundation, which is the arm of the Liberace trust that awards scholarships to students, art students in Clark County. And Paco's bringing and is leading the effort to bring the Liberace Museum into Neonopolis next year. And it was interviewed for the movie, and it was
interesting because I was watching behind the scenes video where they're interviewing Michael Douglas, Matt Damon, and they were interviewing Paco along with it.
Yeah.
So it was very, very cool to see. I'm like, hey, he was on our show. So if you get a chance again on the Cats with the Dish page, Paco Alvarez, you should look at that interview.
Learn a lot
as well.
About Las Vegas. Yeah. But up next, we got to get to our guests. A part of our great Las Vegas landscape is Kelly Clinton Holmes tomorrow night at Suncoast with Freckled for Life. She'll be up next, so stick around. I know we will.
Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
This is Oscar Goodman, the author of Being Oscar, on Cats with a Dish.
Yeah!
Welcome back. Joining us now is the pride of Clark High School. She hosts an open mic night at Bootlegger Bistro each Monday, and she hosts a show called Talk Tales on Vegas Video Network, also on Mondays, live streaming at 5, folks, if you're in front of a computer. But Saturday night, live and in person, she stars in Freckled for Life, a one-woman show, but there are guests. This is at the Suncoast Showroom, again, Saturday night. Welcome back to Cats with a Dish, Kelly Clinton Holmes.
Yay! You know, this is my introduction for Kelly. I've known Kelly for 20 years since you're fetuses. Go.
Fetuses. We are no longer fetuses.
Oh, in sure. Our dreams we are.
Hi, guys.
We'd be doing the show by ultrasound if that were the case. So,
that would be awesome.
I love that.
A little heartbeats with Morse code. It would be awesome.
Brilliant.
That's in your next show, Kelly, in your Fetus for Life show.
Fetus for Life.
Fetus I'm sure and freckled.
All the kids will come. A freckled fetus.
There you go.
At 8.
An embryonic production.
Oh, boy.
So what are we going? Kelly, it's good to see you.
You
as
too.
Always, always.
Good one of the funniest one of the, people in town.
One of the great Thanks. Performers we have in this city is Arat Hia. That should have been in my intro, but I'm not going to redo it.
Well, no. You could say and it as many times as you want. You could call, leave it on my message machine.
I'll call later, and I'll do some Morse code.
Okay.
He's going to tattoo it on him.
Morse code. Wasn't he with Prince?
Tattoo it on me. Morse code. Morse code in the nights.
You guys were actually a part of my show last year.
I know. And you know, I never, because I was
you
out of town.
It?
I never even saw the video. I saw Jerry Jones last night. Yeah. Who was, and I was like,
Founder
so
Fifth
much
Avenue.
For allowing me to see the video that I worked
well,
so hard on.
I also have the poster that was in the video, but it accidentally got run over by my car on the way out of the driveway.
Accidentally.
And it actually
totally,
got
leaning.
Shot through with bullet holes.
No, it was
it was accidentally set aflame. Whoops!
And I was leaning and
accidentally, Katz has horns and I have a mustache. I don't know how that accidentally happened.
No,
with
but the tire
caricatures.
Mark is only on the other side of the poster, so okay. I can still share it with you.
Okay.
But this year, I have to say this. I'm very excited about the opening of the show.
Which
because
is?
We did another video production.
A production
oh, thanks
number.
For inviting us back. I guess
well,
we were it.
Well, no, when you see it, you'll say, oh, it's okay that we okay. weren't in that okay. one.
I feel like it's all right anyway.
Yeah.
But, well, I know you guys are good dancers. And you move well, but I actually
I'm not
had,
a professional.
I am.
I had two of the stars of Vegas' show in the video, and I can't say much about it, but someone referred to this video as epic.
Epic. Okay, the
wow.
two stars, let me guess, Professor Wacko and the little pup, Liberace puppet.
I can tell you Liberace puppet wasn't in it, but that's a great idea.
That's a great idea. What about the big bird? That
you
flies.
Know what?
The
I don't know. Paw. There's still more time.
That clipped someone's head in the opening. Do you remember that? It clipped someone's head in the audience in the opening?
On the opening night.
It was it was Earl Turner's
yes, it was Christine,
wife, Christine
his beautiful
yeah.
wife.
Who pulled it out of, it was somebody else. Colleen Custer's hair is where it landed.
Is that what happened?
But Earl's wife pulled it out. It went right in front of us.
So you can't make this stuff
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so thank God that bird is not in your video or else it might still be entangled because you've got beautiful hair. Yeah. It could stay
oh,
in there for a while.
Yeah. Thank you. That would be a nightmare.
It
I mean, the show's fun, but that's yeah. not the kind of fun
this thing
we're going
to
have.
Like the last
scene. Tippi Hedren impression.
I'll tell you who it is. I'll give this part away.
Okay.
Tara Paulsha,
I was about to say Tara
Paulsha,
yeah.
who is my special guest that night too, but only by video. Reva Rice is the other person that's in the video.
Oh,
and
former guest,
JJ
yes,
Jerry Jones is in a little part. You have to kind of look for him, but that I'm so excited about it because it's a new character for me, and it's Scott Whitney from the Vegas Video
yes.
Network. He helped me do the video, so you know, with my crazy ideas, my vision,
mm-hmm.
he took it to another level.
Good for him.
So I can't wait for you to see that.
He does a great job, Scott,
yeah.
with your show.
He sure
okay,
he's
I have to add in there, when speaking of videos,
yes.
You both were part of the Showbiz Roast a few
yeah.
weeks back, and you did a video doing an impersonation of Chris Phillips, a.k.a. Zoe Bowie,
yes.
that we actually, I think he's been on, other than the two of us, he's been on the show more than anybody else, and maybe
Sometimes
more than me.
Shows up.
He's everywhere.
And maybe more than me. He may have
door.
Been on the show more than me.
Really?
I don't know. But
Chris is everywhere.
And so, but you did this imitation of him.
All costumed and tanned.
Oh my gosh, you were spot on with the tan, with the hair, with the laughing, with the rings, with the mannerisms. And
thank you.
Then, but you did a funny thing because everybody, we do make fun of a lot, Chris dating young women, all of us do in town. And you did a thing where you introduced his next girlfriend and it was like a little 3-year-old girl with a violin. Oh my gosh.
I don't know how I talked my friend Elisa and her husband Michael into letting me borrow their daughter.
She's a very good singer,
Olivia.
This little girl.
She's
Olivia.
Good. Uh-huh. She kills Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Is she a special guest?
Why not?
For derision.
No, but she has come in on a Monday with her mom, who sings with Prince. And
yeah, she's
she comes
awesome.
In and she, yeah, Elise is mm-hmm. fabulous. Mm-hmm. She'll be in the audience. She won't be in the show this time. But
she's
going to
be at the Bootlegger Monday?
She's going to be at the Bootlegger Monday, and she's going to be in Earl Turner's show at the Suncoast mm-hmm. like a week or two after my appearance.
Right.
2 weeks after.
Yeah, that's the Unplugged deal
yeah.
he's doing.
So
right?
she's great.
Yeah.
But her okay. daughter is 7 years old, and I called them the night before the video shoot. Now, I said, it's kind of weird what we're doing.
Yeah.
But I promise it's not so weird that she'll be traumatized.
Yeah.
And she said, yes, they brought their child over. We popped a wig on her, gave her a violin, and she was
hysterical.
Lydia
stole, yes,
Ansel.
Stole, yes, stole it. It was hysterical. Like, it was one of those things that we really thought, because the way that you had done the video clips, it was kind of like, you know, where you were Chris, and then you would put in other famous people
yeah,
in
we,
town that Chris
yeah,
has interviewed and
edited,
just kind of
yes.
edited together to make it seem like it was something it wasn't. So we all figured that Lydia right. was in on it with you being his girlfriend, that
exactly.
she was doing it when this little child
well, yeah. so
appeared
he,
with a big violin. I almost cried.
I got a big laugh.
Really, yeah.
so, and Lisa and her husband were there. Of
yeah.
course, their daughter wasn't there.
Yeah.
It was a late night. But it was so much fun. And Scott Whitney also was a big part
mm-hmm.
of putting that
Put
together.
That was one of the highlights of the night.
Because Chris was Talk Tales
and your husband, Clint. And
mm-hmm.
yes, and we were on. Okay,
he
by
interviewed
the way,
us.
We were on Talk Tales together with Chris.
yeah.
I don't think I've gotten an invite since that.
Oh, well, that'll be coming soon. Very soon. I promise.
I have nothing to say, though. That's the problem.
Oh,
I talk
yeah,
about it every week.
Trish just does. She doesn't have anything to say.
So no, but wait, I need to know, because you and your husband, Clint Holmes, who we love, who has been on the show, again,
yeah.
a lot, probably more than me sometimes, he actually filled in for me. He's the only person
oh,
that
co-host?
Has ever filled in for me.
Oh, I remember.
He did host chat
this.
With us.
Yeah.
yeah with
he's a good talker,
uh-huh.
too. He's
he
got
is
great
good.
Stories.
And yeah, you guys are quite a dynamic
duo.
Performing couple.
Yeah, we fight over the mirror. No, I'm kidding. We don't. Yes, we do. No, we don't.
No, Clint gets all the mirror time. Yeah, we don't fight because Clint takes it all.
No, I know what to get you for Christmas.
The
spare mirror.
Now, is Clint going to be in the show?
You know what? I'm not supposed to say, because he's more like, if he is in the show, if by any chance that he possibly would be coming up for song, if that was to happen, I can't give it away. It would be organic. It's a surprise. Yes, he'll be there.
Yes, exactly.
This is Saturday, right?
But see, I wasn't going
to
tell him.
Because we're going to go to Olympic Garden together Saturday, he told me.
Excuse me.
Maybe I wasn't supposed to say anything.
So this will be his last appearance anyway. Oh my
OG.
God.
I hope you saw his last appearance at the Smith Center.
No, but you know what? He's yeah. going to be at the, I don't know when the show is on, but he's going to be at,
tomorrow.
Yes, he'll be on right away. He'll be at the Smith Center the following weekend and doing Bacharach Beatles, and Beyond.
And Beyonce.
No, his guest is.
That would be awesome.
Kristen Herzenberg.
Herzenberg.
I always say, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's her tough name to say, but she's
Kristen
gorgeous.
Kristen Herzenberg from the
Phantom of the Opera.
Who's overcome quite a lot of voice issues, vocal issues.
Has she really?
Yeah, she had, we've had her on. We had her on? I've interviewed her one point or another.
So,
she had a vocal thing that she's recovered
from. It's so scary
from.
When
and
that
she's
happens.
Been
it
involved
happens
with the Composer Showcase on nights when Clint and you have performed.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah, she's great. And they're doing a 4th of July thing.
That's right.
This year with the Philharmonic.
Yes,
right,
the orchestra.
At the Smith Center.
Now, are you, but you do a lot, I mean, you do a lot of impressions, you do a lot of video stuff, you're so
yes.
funny, and I mean, you, how we met is you were, when you were a mere child, you were a backup singer for my brother-in-law, Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton, who's always a part of my show, whether he's
I
there,
know.
He's never actually come, we got to get him there.
Let me hear a little Wayne. If Wayne was here, what would he say?
What? I absolutely am so proud of this young lady. I mean, we worked together for many years. And in the show, when I met her, I said, Kelly, you're absolutely beautiful. And if there's anything I can do to help further along your career, I'd like to. But right now, 5, 6, 9, 12, Dr. Shade, Tony, Dr. Shade.
So I always have him, and he's so important.
Brilliant.
I always say this. I always gush over Wayne. I was so young when I met him, and he is one of my mentors, and that's how I put it in the show. One of the major mentors in my life, changed my life, taught me so much. When I go on stage, I go all out because I hear his voice in my head saying, "Don't phone it in." You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what it is. Yeah, I do, because I remember seeing you up there singing.
Daddy George, you walk so fast.
But you did. While the Lovin's Good was a country tune that you did Tammy Wynette part, and Wayne did obviously the Wayne part, and the two of you did this duet, and it was seriously any other singer that's come in to sing it with Wayne when, because he rarely does it anymore, but when he would do, it was always a highlight for me that when Francis Lee and Wayne would do At This Moment, and when you would do While the Feeling's Good with Wayne, it was amazing. So as much you have,
we finished the thought about any other singer after that. I want to hear that part.
No, it was not as great. No, seriously, couldn't pull it off like you did. Like, seriously, like, you sounded so amazing on it.
20 minutes to stop saying that.
Okay. And, but Wayne always says, what stirred the whole conversation, Wayne always said that, you know, that, you know, you see so many talented people, and he has so many, I mean, he only hires the best of the best to be in his orchestra and his singers. And he said that you were so well-rounded. He's like, Kelly, if I could get anyone a sitcom, it would be Kelly Clinton, because you were so well-rounded.
He would say that to me, and that really, I mean, you have no idea how, what a big influence he's been in my life.
And well, you're so talented, and he's absolutely
I tribute him every show.
I will. If he was in town this weekend, I'm sure he would go.
Tell him I love him and Kat that I miss him.
From this show, what are you going to build toward? You've done these kind of weekend or one-offs out at Suncoast before. Are you going to continue to investigate just doing, you know, select weekends, or is there an overarching objective here?
Kelly Clinton, I can't, with the back injury, there's not a lot of arching. No, I can still arch like nobody. I'm just saying. No,
she's still very limber.
Stay away from golden arches.
She's actually doing some sort of yoga contortionist position right now as she's doing the interview.
Mixed with Zumba. Of course, the goal, and I haven't been focused too much on, I've been doing a lot of different things, but I would love to be in a showroom doing this, you know, on a regular basis.
Four or five nights a week?
Yeah, I'd say 3 to 4. But I'd love to do it where, like when I get to do the Suncoast, I get to do some of the costuming and some of the characters and stuff like that. When I did it in New York in the cabaret at the Metropolitan Room, there were no costumes except at the end when I do my JoJo Spaghetti Moretti guy, alter ego guy. So I enjoy
cigarette.
Both.
The cigarette.
No, no cigarette. Mom is the smoker. JoJo is the trumpet player.
Oh, that's what it
that's
is.
That's what it
that's
is.
That's what it
so.
Is. Okay.
But anyway, I would
There's
love to do this all the time, you know, and so, and I also have a version of Freckled for Life that's got more drama in it. It's more of the story. It's called Freckles and 80-Year-Old Bones, which is, doesn't that sound
I've
sexy?
I've seen a version of this.
That's not like a topless show.
Onyx, that's what you did at Onyx Theater.
Isn't this, it's kind of like a, almost like a, biography for you, but a little it's it mixed between like a one-woman show but about your life.
Yes.
Or was there other characters?
That's what it is. It's kind of the journey. That's what the freckles, like what I said to someone today, when I look at my freckles, it reminds me of who I am and where I came from and, you know, my family. So I do a lot of some of the characters in my real life, my mom and my brother and stuff, and talk about our move from Jersey to Vegas, and then mix in some of the experiences like meeting Wayne Newton along the way and being influenced by Carol Burnett. You know, that's my hero right there. So I kind of tell some of the funny stories and bring in some characters along the way. And by the way, I always forget, I have to tell you, my musical director is Michael Clark. I also worked with him for years at the Sterling Club and on Monday nights every week, and he is phenomenal. And I have great musicians, some of them work with Clint as well.
Who we got up there? Keith Nelson.
Keith Nelson on bass. Okay. John Wiedemeyer on guitar.
Good friend of mine.
Jess Gopin on drums. And like I said, a few surprise guests.
Clint Holmes.
Bill Fane. And Jerry Jones.
Clint Holmes.
That saves you from having to do your Bill Fane impression, I guess.
Kirsten and Connie are helping me with my share bit. But anyway, it's going to be action-packed and fun and crazy, and I'd like to do it every day of the week, yes.
And you were very well reviewed back in New York with this show.
I did. At the
Metropolitan Room, yeah. Which is something you share with Clint. So that must be very gratifying to go back and take this show really on the road to a place that isn't very kind to many people, especially Las Vegas entertainers, and receive such warm approval back there.
Absolutely. In fact, I included a new medley in the show. It's a New York medley. And in the middle of two songs, I do a little piece of New York, New York, just a little piece. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And it is the highest, you know, the toughest place to get thumbs up or great job, you know, because they're all so talented and there are so many great shows there. So that was a thrill. I actually did it twice. I did it in October the year before, and then I came back in May and did more nights. And thrilling. And then they mentioned Lucille Ball and Carol Burnett in the review, which made me cry.
Yeah.
I cried like a baby.
Well, the other thing that you do that I don't know if a lot of people know is you have very funny originals. Like, I remember you, this is how sad, giving me a cassette. I was in college. Were both, you know, like 2 years ago. So we were both, you know, because we're pretty much the same age. Yeah. So, I mean, you were just starting out with me. And you had these things like PMS Blues, Lopsided, a bunch of these songs that you wrote that were, and you gave me, I remember you sending me a cassette in Chicago.
Oh, that's funny. And, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and so it was hysterical that, I mean, you're so funny. And you sing these songs and you're a writer. Are you going to be doing a lot of originals?
Actually, I'm doing a couple of originals in the show. And one of them is Freckled for Life. So that's after my video that I'm so excited about is Freckled for Life. And then later on in the show, I do the PMS Blues.
I was going to say, you have to do PMS Blues. Oh, hysterical, ladies.
I have to do the PMS Blues before the expiration date happens.
Before it's the menopause hots.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to go into it, but Lord.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't either want to go into it.
We'll wait for the song to come out.
I don't know if I should say this, but I can hear my ovaries right now.
Well, next
that's
time,
so wrong.
We'll invite them to join in the interview. How come Kelly Clinton Holmes? You got Clint going at the Smith Center in a cabaret jazz, which is a very cool thing, monthly. Why aren't you? Have you tried to get a booking there?
That's really interesting. I have not pushed to do that. I've been a guest in his show, as both of you know. We've come to the show, and I love doing that. But I have not actually. I think I wanted to. It's funny. It's a balance where I kind of step back sometimes, and I don't want to use the power and his position over there to say, hey, Clint's wife wants a gig
equity,
over there.
Yeah.
But wait,
right?
I won't use him. I'll just get in there on my own merit. And no, I haven't tried to do that yet.
I have to say, this always makes me curious because we hear about so many, Hollywood marriages and that type of thing where they're both performers.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, I would think as a performer, you have to have some sort of an ego and a little bit of a tough skin and a thin skin to put yourself out, especially when you're an entertainer. You know, when an actor gets to take on a role and both. But when you're an entertainer, you really are like saying, like me. You're putting yourself out there, and it's a very vulnerable thing. When you have both people in the marriage, performers, and you all both have those delicate egos, and how do you balance it?
Well, actually, it's really you're absolutely right, because we're like, entertainers are like egomaniacs with inferiority complexes.
We
go, look at me. Do I look okay?
Yeah.
You know, so with Clint and I'm sure we have that, but what we do for each other is we are each other's sounding board. He's the I want to hear his opinion, and my friend Lena Prima is another strong sounding board for me. But at home in our house, we're always bouncing the ideas when we're working on a new show or a character or a song, and we'll go, baby, listen to this. There's a lot of listen to this. Check this out.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll ask each other for constructive criticism. So we're careful not to go, hey, you know, when you did that last thing, or why don't you go? We'll just say, you know, do you want to hear my thoughts? Actually, we just ask each other, give me your thoughts.
Yeah.
I did that for the new New York medley I'm doing. I said, any thoughts? Do you feel like I should? Blah, blah, blah? And he gives me his opinion. I take it very seriously because he's the best.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just take parts of it. And he counts on me as well when he's working on the play and every show at the Smith Center. He bounces stuff off me all the time.
It's interesting because what you'd have in common, aside from a very high level of aptitude, is a lot of your work on stage and elsewhere is autobiographical. You put yourself out there quite a bit. Both of you do. And I remember when you did the Freckles and 80-Year-Old Bones, the little rollout
at the Onyx.
And I was sitting next to your mother when you were doing this play.
And
this
it wasn't so much comedy in
there
that.
Was not
was
a lot of comedy.
I was trying the more serious part of that story, and leaving out the other.
Traditionally, your strength is singing and performing comedy. and impressions and that kind of thing. Why are you going? Why did you investigate going in that direction? It was. I've got to tell you, it was a little uncomfortable watching it.
Well, that's because when I'm through, which you're never really through writing something like that, but I will include a lot of the parts that we do in the nightclub show to balance out the humor and the drama. But I actually, in high school and college, I was theater and singing and dancing, you know, so it was all smushed together for me, kind of made my living. I was able to work right away out of high school as a singer. So that's why the other stuff got kind of pushed back. But I always did characters in the bands I was in. So for that night there, and you know, I only invited some friends for that because it was so vulnerable and it was just getting the words out right there. And I talk about some sad things, right? Mm-hmm. Some tough things about my childhood and losing my father and the rocky relationship. And, you know, I don't want to go into all of that right now, but I had to write it and I had to put it up on its feet to feel what it was like. So eventually there'll be a mix, a balance. So
we won't be
every
seeing
time,
that version of the show.
Well, you'll be seeing pieces of it. That's what that was all about, was feeling what it felt like. Not to find the border, but to find what kind of works,
even if you could, you know, I mean, basically bare your soul in public, you know, that type of a thing. It's one thing to write it down, but to actually then, put it on a stage in front of people. I mean, I would think that that would have been to see if you could get through, you know, if you were comfortable doing it.
It was tough. And my mom, like John said, my mom was sitting right there and she hadn't seen a lot of it. I didn't tell her too much because she would say,
"Oh, that was nice to do to mom."
Saying that on stage. And I was like, I can't let her edit me. I got to get this out. But she, I mean, it moved her. It hurt. It was sad. It was, she said, you blew me away. She said, because it's all the truth. She said, some of it made me feel terrible, like I wish I could do it all over again. You know, you were there. It was some painful stuff.
I didn't get to see
it. But then you see the craziness and the funniness.
Well, I feel like there's that in you, and then there's the stage show, the type of thing you're going to be doing at the Suncoast, and there's somewhere in there is where you want to be.
Yes.
Maybe not all the way over here with the dramatic piece necessarily,
not all the way.
But somewhere in there.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that your search is still to find where that is.
Well, right. Billy Crystal did the 700 Sundays on Broadway, which was absolutely mixed with his influence of music growing up. His dad was like a record producer. And
his dad actually did the translation for Donkashin, or his uncle, one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from German. Sorry, go on. Yeah.
Well, that story, his story, I remember sitting in the audience laughing my brains out and then sobbing.
Yeah.
So somewhere in there is my story.
No, but what about any chance of a Clint and Kelly type of a show together where it's kind of like a Stephen Eady or a Donny
and that's
and
all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Now, actually, we love to work. I don't think that's going to ever happen where it's a duo type situation like Captain and Tennille, Sonny and Cher, or
yeah,
like
I think
you
it'd
said,
be fun.
Stephen Eady, because we're both so much, we have our own thing. And Clint has been doing his own thing for so long that he's used to collaborating, but then having his solo. And so am I, honestly. I love being a part of his show or having him as a guest in my show. And we do tour. Sometimes we go on tour and do where I'm the special guest in the show or open for him. And that's great.
Yeah.
And I think it's healthy to not do that all the time. So we can be that sounding board for each other.
Well, that will take us to the end of our time together.
Can we get again?
I'm so glad we had this time together, as somebody far wiser than
is someone, she's tugging at her ear.
Yes. That's the one. Is it the right one?
Yes.
Kelly Clinton, Freckled for Life at Suncoast Showroom, Saturday night. That's tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Tickets still available. Go to the Suncoast website. It's a terrific time. The best value you will find in town on that night. Trust me on that. Thanks again, Kelly. Anytime
Thank
you want to come
you.
In, we will get you in here.
We'll always remember that I had a swinging time. I'll keep everything that I got. Let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot the seven with every shot. So reload.